Specialist located in the West Loop Shopping Center.
And we're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara here in studio with Wamego Superintendent Tim Winter, Westmoreland Elementary Principal Scott Harshberger. And Tim, I think it might be good to just start going down some of the things on your agenda as well.
Sure.
We went through some of the recognitions, but you also have some stuff on the general agenda. Of course, there's always bond construction updates,
yeah.
And we're going to talk to both of you about bond construction updates. It's a hot topic around the region lately. What's the latest going on at the bond, with the bond?
Yeah, we are kind of on the tail end of our bond process. All the major building and construction has taken place, but we have a few items to finish up. The construction team and our architects shared the plans with the board Monday night regarding our lower gym or our main gym upgrades and facility improvements, and that's going to include all new bleachers. We also have an upper deck area that used to be our wrestling area until we built our new wrestling facility with the bond this past year. But we're going to run bleachers all the way up from the floor up onto that deck, so it'll actually offer a upper load and a floor load and an upper load where you can come in from either the floor or up top. It'll make things easier, especially for anybody that needs some ADA accessibility. The capacity is not going to grow tremendously because that gym is just confined by space, but the comfort level is going to increase tremendously. We'll widen the aisles and so forth, but it will add about 75 additional seats. But we think most people will be able to sit straight ahead now instead of bent and turning their knees sideways, so you don't have knees in front of the people or in the backs of the people in front of you. And we just think it's going to be an improved environment. We're also going to put in drop-down volleyball nets. We have never had drop-down volleyball nets. We're probably well behind the times. I think every school in the state has those just because it's just convenient, and it's one less thing a PE class or someone has to work around. So those will be added as well.
About those nets real quick. I understand how drop-down basketball nets work, but for the volleyball nets, how do those drop down? Is it just the whole thing comes just straight down from the roof, no assembly required?
No assembly, that's right. The net just stays attached to those poles, and it's on a pulley system just like the basketball goals. And, yep, you lower them down. The official stand is all incorporated into that pole that gets lowered down, and it's fantastic.
Clever.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But like I said, most schools have these, and Wamego is well behind the times. We drag out poles, sometimes multiple times a day, and stick them in the foundation of the floor there. And that's just those are heavy poles. You always risk, somebody dropping them or sliding them across the floor.
Save
and scratching
you a lot of
up
trouble.
Floors. Yeah, we're at our middle school, we don't have drop down volleyball nets, and so during volleyball season, those stay up all year long, and then it becomes something our PE classes, our PE students, just have to work around all day. So maybe in the future we'll be able to add them over there as well. It'll just make a better environment for volleyball, but also for our students, for a better learning environment, so that they can just have one less obstacle during their PE activities. So.
More easily programmable, definitely.
Uh-huh, yeah. But the other big thing, we have a few minor projects, but the other big thing we're working on right now is door security. We're making sure we're improving door security in all buildings, especially the high school where we have very little, just because we have so many parking lots around that facility and so many exterior doors where we've had to keep open over the years. But we're adding some door security, some buzz-in, some new key cards versus the old traditional key, and some programmability that we will have with that as well, where we can program for events and do things remotely. So it'll be a nice improvement.
That's becoming the norm at a lot of schools, too. I know they're planning on doing those around the USD 383 campuses, too.
Yeah, it's pretty much the norm in schools now and in the real world. I mean, in most places, that's how you get in and out of buildings.
Yeah. And Scott, as I understand, Rock Creek has plenty of bond happenings going on as well. Can you give me some updates there as well?
Yeah, correct. I've been around long enough that I find it very nostalgic to watch the growth of both districts. I love driving around Wamego and see the improvements in the Wamego district and Tim's district. Amazing stuff going on there. Same out at Rock Creek. Again, I'm not based out of that building anymore, but still very involved in the administrative team and the decisions that it took to get that growth going. But yeah, there's a huge crane out there right now. It's quite impressive to see. The gym walls have been set. The tech center is well on its way. We've doubled our size. What used to be our VOAG building has now doubled in size, and we now call that the tech center. Well, in cooperation with Manhattan Tech School, we'll be able to offer auto body, heating and air, woods, metals, things like that. Very excited about that. I know Mr. Coppes is in the process of making new hires to fill those positions.
Now, maybe this is something that is maybe a little outside of your scope, but how common are wood and metal school or shops type classes around the area? Because I know where I went to school, out of state, of course, we didn't have anything of the sort.
Unfortunately, that's been the case in most districts around here. But now a push in education is to send kids that direction toward the more tech route, where the jobs are available, good-paying jobs with you come out of those with very little student loans and you can jump right into the workforce, which is much needed.
Yeah, definitely. And I imagine the cooperation with the tech center helps too.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, and can go ahead and continue on other bond updates.
What that's going to do to the two elementary schools here, not next year, but the following year, the fifth and sixth graders will move to the Rock Creek campus. We are building a 5-8 middle school kind of behind the current Rock Creek building where they'll have their own entrance. We have a building leadership team developed, and they've been meeting consistently to prepare for that. Don't have an administrator hired for that yet. That's coming. But all that it takes to put together a 5-8 building is in process, and we're starting to see the construction go up to get ready for that.
A lot of challenges in planning are involved in that,
I'm
sure.
A lot of planning we're finding out, yeah. And I find it very interesting on our monthly board meetings to sit and listen to the guys from McCallum Gordon, who's our contractor, and the reports that they give, the updates on the facility upgrades is quite fascinating.
And do you know any of the maybe the reasoning behind creating that 5-8 middle school as opposed to maybe a different structure?
We did a community study beforehand. One of the big issues was the growth at St. George Elementary. St. George is just 10 years old. The school we built down there, it was already busting at the seams. And as you know, if you've driven out that way, the expansion has been tremendous. So we had to do something, either build a new elementary school down there, or we decided through community studies, administrative meetings, community input, very important, we decided to go with the 5-8 building on campus.
Yeah, and there's a lot of tremendous growth in that county. So, I mean, you know, I guess it only seems logical that you'd be seeing that type of growth too.
Yes.
Definitely. And I'm going to transition back on over to Tim. There's more things on your agenda that I'd like to touch on. I see here on the list literacy training for teachers at the Central and West staff. Could you expand on that?
Absolutely. 2 years ago, we started down the path of a program called Letters. Letters is Language Essentials for Teachers of Reading and Spelling. And it's really gets into the science of teaching reading. You know, a lot of students come out of their teaching programs with you know, they touch on reading instruction, but as an elementary teacher, when you have so many things to cover and you have, you know, you have to master all the subjects along with just your general good teaching instruction practices. Reading, that science of teaching reading just isn't hit on well enough. And so actually our special ed director, Chris Caesar, is a trainer of this letters program, and he started to kind of push that with us. And we quickly jumped on board. And so right now, all of our Central Elementary teachers have been through, I believe, approximately 7 or 8 of the modules, and I think there's 10 or 12 modules total, and those usually are full-day instruction, full-day workshops. But they're doing it. We're also growing that into our West Elementary, and we want all of our special education teachers to have it as well. And we've seen some significant growth already just in this past year and a half that we've been using that. When we look at our tiered systems of support, we have you know, in your tier one, that's where you want all students to be, where you can offer, you know, little support. It's kind of just like your regular instruction. Tier two, where you offer some accommodations and some extra help for students. And then tier three is where you really need to have some one-on-one instruction and offer additional accommodations for those students. But we've seen tremendous shifts from students moving out of those tier threes and tier twos down into that tier one in reading scores, and it's just been a phenomenal program. And the teachers that presented did a great job, and they're really excited because, like I said, they receive so little solid instruction on reading and teaching reading that this has just been a breath of fresh air for them, and they're jumping on board and doing a great job with it.
Yeah, shout out to those early childhood education majors out there. They study a broad range of subjects to be able to get to where they need to get to. Mm-hmm. And there's also a few other topics on here. I think the last one we might want to touch on is the enrollment fees for 1920.
Sure. Usually this is just an approval process. That's just something we have to do every year. Usually there's maybe a slight increase here or there in something. But this year we actually made a little change. 2 years ago we adopted a one-to-one program, which is one-to-one iPads for essentially kindergarten through fifth grade students, where every kindergartner through fifth grade has an iPad that they use in the classroom. Then we adopted a laptop program for our 6 through 12, and so all those students have a laptop that they use for using their classroom activities. They can take it, 6 through 12 can take it home with them and use for homework, and a lot of our stuff is done through technology. But with that, we added technology fees of 30 for the elementary and 50 for the high school. We've tried to eliminate some of our textbook resources. That's not ever fully going to go away, and I don't know that I want it to. I think you need to balance. Technology is good, but we're not going to sit on iPads and computers all day long. That's the last thing we want to do.
Yeah, I struggle with that myself.
Yeah. But so we have had a textbook rental fee for forever of $50. And we've changed that to instructional materials because it just covers so much more than textbooks. But we also decided with the additional fees of technology that we've dropped that instructional materials fee from 50 down to 35. It's not a huge savings, but we felt like it was time to pass on some savings to our parents in the community because we do seem to have a lot of fees for a lot of things. And when enrollment time comes in late July and August, you know, some families might be dropping $300-$500 just to enroll their children in school and participate in the activities and so forth. So we just we felt good about passing on a little bit of a savings. So.
And we're running just short on time. Scott, I wanted to get one more question in with you. Are there any other projects or happenings going on around Westmoreland Elementary that you're just really excited about and want to share?
Well, it's state assessment time, so of course we're gearing up for that, and I know Tim's dealing with that. Also, it's our accreditation, Kansas Education Systems Accreditation. We have our OVT visit, which is where the outside visitation team comes in to monitor our progress in the accreditation area. We have that next Tuesday, the 16th, so we're geared up and ready for that as well.
And how have things been moving along on that side of things? Are you feeling confident in regards to accreditation?
Very much so. It's a 5-year process. We're in year 3, where you need to show evidence that you're improving in the areas that you chose, relationships and relevance in our case. But now it's time for data. We want to see results. So that's where we're at. But we feel very good about it.
All right. And I think we're just out of time here on this segment. Thanks again for coming in, Tim, Scott. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. And we're going to transition over. We have some folks from the group Bikers Against Child Abuse coming in next. Stay tuned for more here on InFocus on News Radio KMAN.